Gilchrist moves over behind Kemp. He goes back to pass again. Runs out to the right.
Still on his feet. Now throws. It's good to Loftin. At the 10. At the 5. Touchdown! Touchdown!
The John Murphy Show is on the air.
Mario Williams hands him around the waist and he drops him. Super Mario gets in on the sack party.
Yeah! Let's go, Buffalo!
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the greatest show in sports.
Ball into the end zone. It is intercepted. It is picked off. Aaron Williams made a leaping interception in the end zone.
Hear all the action, all the excitement of Buffalo Bills football. Right here on
The John Murphy Show.
The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across Western New York. On the show tonight, the Bills just a few days away from having the veterans returning to one Bills drive, and one of them, tight end Tony Moiaki, joins us tonight at 7:30. At 8, more draft talk with Dan Shaka of Our Lad's Guide to the NFL Draft, and Bills receiver Brandon Kaufman joins us on the line at 8:30 tonight.
This place is pandemonium.
Finds a crease up the middle, dodges a man at the 5, into the end zone, touchdown, Fred Jackson!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Good evening, welcome. We've got 2 hours of live Bills and NFL talk coming up for you tonight. Welcome to the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Happy to be back tonight and getting excited, to be honest with you, about the veterans coming back next week, next Tuesday. Little program note, our show is off tomorrow night. Sal Capaccio will be hosting from our flagship station in Buffalo, WGR Radio, filling in. And we are off on Monday because of the holiday and then back on Tuesday. And what do you know? When we're back here Tuesday, the veterans come back for day one of voluntary off-season conditioning. Want to talk about that tonight with you, about the group of guys coming back here on Tuesday. And as usual, you're welcome to join us. 803-0550 is the number to call, or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You can follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. Your thoughts, though, on the Bills vets returning. We spent so much time on this show and thinking and talking and debating about the rookies, the guys who are going to be picked up 3 weeks from tonight in the NFL draft. But what about the returning guys? You know, the great Hall of Fame coach Marv Levy used to say, that the players who you really depend on are the players coming back for their second year in the NFL. They are veterans now. And the Bills, as you know, had a large group of rookies who contributed last year looking to take the next step this next season, the 2014 season. The question we put out there tonight, of that group of returning veterans here next Tuesday for the voluntary off-season conditioning, of that group that's coming back here, who are you most excited to have back? Which veterans are poised for the biggest improvement this year? Who's got the most to prove in the upcoming season? If you have thoughts on that, give us a call. 803-0550 is the number, or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You can reach out and do it via Twitter at John Murphy Show. We've got some tweets already on this issue. Tuesday, day one of the five-week period, the voluntary off-season conditioning period for the veteran. The Bills veterans working out. They'll be working out 3 or 4 days per week over those 5 weeks, under the supervision of the strength and conditioning staff with the trainers here, a little bit of limited meeting time. The draft, of course, 3 weeks from tonight. And so there'll be a whole new crop of players coming in, 6 draft picks right now for the Bills, plus the free agents they signed. And there's going to be a rookie minicamp in the middle of this. But over the next 5 weeks, it's veteran time. It's off-season conditioning time. And we want to hear from you, which of those veterans has the most to prove for the Buffalo Bills? Who's poised for the biggest jump up? Who's poised for the most improvement this year? I got a few ideas on that, but you're welcome to join us. 803-0550, the number, or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. And, of course, it pretty much starts and ends with E.J. Manuel. Everybody's going to say that. I believe that. I think he does hold the key for the upcoming season, the Bills' second-year quarterback. They need a big jump up from E.J. Manuel this year. They need substantial improvement for E.J. Manuel. They need a 16-game schedule from E.J. Manuel this year. So he'd be number one on my list with the most to prove. The one who's poised for the most improvement, I think he'd be the one on my list who I'm most excited to see when the veterans come back here next week, to see how he looks, to see how, when they eventually get on the field for, mini camps and the organized team activities, we get a chance to see how E.J. Manuel looks. He'd be number one on my list. But who's on your list? Who has the most to prove in the group of veterans coming back for this year? Who's poised for the most improvement? What about wide receiver Stevie Johnson? whose season came to an unceremonious end last year with a personal tragedy he suffered and then did not play in the last couple of weeks of the year last year. Stevie, I think, in many eyes, has, if not something to prove, at least people want to make sure that he's still Stevie Johnson. We won't be able to tell that for sure until the season starts, but it'll be good to have him back here. It'll be good to see that he brings the same attitude, the same work ethic that he's always had and when it comes to getting ready to play. And he, last year was the first year he really missed much significant time at all during the regular season, so he's always been a gamer. But let's see. I'm interested to see what Stevie Johnson looks like and what he has to say when he comes back next week. Running back C.J. Spiller, who suffered and fought through that high ankle sprain all last year. C.J., does he have something to prove? Not necessarily something to prove, but I think that most of us are looking for bigger and better things from C.J. Spiller in the upcoming year. We know about his dynamic, game-breaking ability. The Bills need to see it on a more regular basis and need to make sure that he's healthy this year. What about wide receiver T.J. Graham? As you know, the Bills have added some depth to the wide receiving core in the person of Mike Williams, and there's talk that they may be going into the draft for a wideout. T.J. Graham, I think, is a guy who has something to prove in the voluntary workouts. And believe me, no jobs will be won and lost. It's very unlikely that jobs will be won and lost during this off-season conditioning program. But at least the veterans will be in the building and working on Bill stuff as opposed to their own individual workouts. What about the safeties? Denoris Searcy, maybe Duke Williams. Somebody's got to step in and play for Jairus Byrd. One of those two, I think, would have something to prove. I think the Bills are probably hoping that one of those two takes a big jump up and becomes a player that can at least play the position vacated by Jairus Byrd. Quarterback Thad Lewis, a lot of people think the Bills need to do better at backup quarterback. Maybe Thad Lewis has something to prove. Marcell Dareus, who struggled down the stretch last year, missing significant game time in the end of the season. Marcell Dareus, I would think, has something to prove. Let us know what you think. Who's got the most to prove among the veterans coming back next Tuesday for the Buffalo Bills? Who's poised for the biggest improvement? Who are you most excited to see when the Bills vets return next year or next Tuesday? Give us a call, 803-0550, the number. Toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. You can reach out and follow us on Twitter, at John Murphy Show. The veterans really haven't been here. They haven't been here since the day after the season ended. Season ended last December 29th. The vets cleaned out their lockers December 30th. So we're talking about essentially a four-month period when the Bills players have not been here, thanks to the new collective bargaining agreement. I mentioned this to our producer, Jay Harris, not long ago. There's an energy and a vibrancy that fills the hallways here. This is what I picked up last year once the players returned, Jay. It's real. You can feel it. Wait till you see it next week.
I know.
They have all those guys, those young guys back here getting ready for a season. It really does get you a little bit fired up.
Especially this week, knowing that they're going to be here, just that lull between, I'm looking forward to it. Yeah. I think the show is, so this is
The show is
good.
Definitely looking forward to it. That's right. But let us know what you think. Who are you most excited to have back here when the veterans return next week? Who's poised for the biggest improvement? 803-0550 is the number to call. We'll start with Earl in Buffalo. Hi, Earl. Welcome. You're on the show.
How are you doing?
Great.
I want to talk about Nigel Bradham. I think he's a big disappointment. I think they need to put him back on special teams. He hasn't shown me anything as a linebacker. He don't seem to be able to blitz. He can't stop the run. He's no good in the pass. Defense, I'm like, what is he hanging on to this guy?
Well, he's got to play, he's going to have to fight for his job, obviously, Nigel Bradham. I don't know that he's no good, as you mentioned it. He's going into his third year. Got a couple of starts last year. It's going to be interesting to me to see how guys like Nigel Bradham and in particular Manny Lawson fit into what looks to be a new defense coming in under Jim Schwartz. And again, we won't see this next week or in the 5 weeks of the voluntary offseason conditioning program. But there is going to be an adjustment period for some of those veterans on defense, Lawson, Nigel Bradham, I would think, to see how they fit in. What's their role now in this new defense that's going to be played here? In that respect, I'm looking forward to that. One of the guys who I forgot to mention him as far as a guy who I think I'm excited to see when they come back here is going to be our guest at the bottom of this hour, Tony Moyaki, the tight end. He's had a record of production with the Kansas City Chiefs, especially in his rookie year, and he's had some pretty serious injuries. One of them took him out the whole season. The other one kept him out most of last year with a shoulder injury. Spent the final month of the season with the Buffalo Bills last year, but I mean, he may have something to add to the offense. Tony Moyaki, if he's healthy, a good pass-catching tight end, a guy who can get downfield, would be a valuable addition to the Buffalo offense. Tony Moyaki, I think, I'd put on my list of guys that I'm most excited to see when the veterans return. Let us know what you think. 803-0550 is the number to call. Let's go to Robert in Niagara Falls. Hello, Robert. You're on the air.
Hi, John. I got two comments. One, I think it starts with expectations. So I think for me, it's the defensive line. I want more from Marcel Darius, and I want more from both of the Williams guys. And my second comment is just on the draft, Teddy Bridgewater. If he's there, John, at 9, do we take Teddy Bridgewater? I'll listen for your comments.
No, they don't take Teddy Bridgewater. They've said repeatedly they're not interested in a quarterback early in the draft. They're going with EJ. If you're still there, are you still there, Robert? Those three defensive linemen you mentioned, all three of them were in the Pro Bowl last year. What are you looking for from them?
And John, what I want is, like I said, expectations. I think they performed at a high, like, let's say, B-plus level, and I want A or A-plus level. I want more penetration. I want to stop the run, and I want to get more pressure on the quarterback.
Okay. Thanks, Robert. They set a franchise record for sacks last year. I don't think pressure on the quarterback's the issue. Run defense is the issue, and certainly those guys up front play a major role in that. And again, in a different defensive scheme than what we've had here before. And how all of those guys fit in, I think, is going to be interesting to watch. A couple of tweets on this issue. Who's got the most to prove? Who are you most excited to see? Who's poised for the most improvement among the returning vets next Tuesday? Joshua Ramaker tweets, and I think Kiko has the most to prove that he's an all-pro and not slip and have a sophomore slump. I don't know if I believe in a sophomore slump. I don't know if it's actually proven that there is such a thing. Buffalo fan tweets in, I believe EJ and Stevie have the most to prove this year. Coach Marone also needs to step up. EJ and Stevie, I would agree. Nick tweets in, of course, EJ, he needs to make giant strides. Aaron Williams in his second year is big. Robert Woods needs to be a go-to guy. Boy, that's a good name, Robert Woods. Does need to emerge. He had his moments, some pretty good moments last year, but I agree with you. I think if he's, you know, healthy for the entire season and if he's ready to go, Robert Woods could be a very, very valuable member of the Buffalo Bills receiving corps. As far as Aaron Williams, I think he stepped up last year. Again, you need him to repeat that and to play well, but, boy, you'd be hard-pressed to find a player who had a better all-round year and a bigger breakout year than Aaron Williams had last year. And you mentioned his second year. Aaron's actually going into his fourth year for the team. Brian Worthy has a tweet that echoes what was said earlier. I see Nigel Branham making big strides this year. Seems to be a forgotten man with the free agent pickups. Bill's number one fan tweets, and just feeling Stevie Johnson's going to have a big year. And that's his answer to the question, which Bills vets are poised for the most improvement? Ben Greenwood tweets in, the pressure is on for EJ. He thinks CJ will come back flying this season. Well, those are the usual suspects. Who do you think? Which Bills veterans, when they return next Tuesday, are you most excited to have back? Which Bills veterans do you think are poised to make the biggest jump, the biggest improvement from last year to this? And who's got the most to prove? Phone lines open, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Paul from Hawaii is on the line. Hi, Paul. How are you?
Hello, John. How are you?
Good.
Ed, I need to see the biggest improvement. I'm going to go outside the box here a little bit and say Nathaniel Hackett. I mean, that last year was tough, you know, bouncing quarterback after quarterback. But, I mean, this is a make-or-break year for him. I think if there's not a significant improvement in scoring on the offensive side of the ball, I just don't see him here much longer.
Okay, they have added some help in that offensive coaching staff, as I'm sure you're aware, Paul, adding a new quarterback's coach and a special senior offensive assistant. But, I mean, you hit on it right away about the revolving door at quarterback last year. It was tough to get any sort of continuity going. I think this is what you're saying, I believe, Paul, and don't let me twist your argument. I believe this is all tied in back to EJ. And I think Hackett will be measured by how well EJ progresses this year, along with the new quarterback coach and the new senior offensive assistant. But I think Coach Hackett has his future inextricably, how do you say the word? Tied up, I'll leave that word out, tied up to EJ Manuel. If EJ's doing well, Coach Nathaniel Hackett will be, you know, be getting pats on the back and huzzas all over the place. And if he's, EJ does not do well, then you're right. Then Coach Hackett will have some explaining to do. But I think it's really the key to the season. We've said that before, and that's why EJ's on the top of my list for the most approved and the one that most people are looking for, the biggest jump from last year to this. Phone lines remain open if you have comments on this. 803-0550 is the number. Toll-free 1-888-550-2550. The Buffalo Bills vets return to One Bills Drive next Tuesday. Who's got the most to prove? Who's poised for the biggest improvement? Who are you most excited to see back here? Let us know what you think. 803-0550 is the number. And the draft itself, 3 weeks away now. Are you ready for that? 3 weeks away to the NFL draft. Can't wait for round one. It is Thursday night, May 8th. Today, a couple of the NFL Network's stalwarts, the draft experts, Daniel Jeremiah and Charles Davis, held a media conference call to preview the NFL draft. NFL media analyst Daniel Jeremiah says this is, as far as he's concerned, a very, very deep draft and one that most teams are pretty excited to get to.
I think it is a very deep draft at some positions. Wide receivers as deep as I can remember. Cornerback, there's a lot of depth. However, there are some positions where it's not quite as deep it's being made out to be. I think you look at edge rusher, inside linebacker, I think it's a little more limited than we've seen in previous years. So a very good draft at some positions, others not quite as deep. The quarterback group, I don't have any of these guys in my top 10, on my top 10 players, but I think there's a lot of depth in the draft class, and I think we're getting more and more buzz building on this second-tier group as we get closer to the draft.
Daniel Jeremiah from the NFL Network in a conference call today, he said that it looks like more and more teams that need quarterbacks and those teams that are drafting early in the first round are going to pass up the quarterback with their first pick. He says teams like the Texans, the Jaguars, the Raiders, they pick 1, 3, and 5 in 3 weeks. They may pass on a quarterback with their first pick. Thinking back to the Seahawks, who got Russell Wilson on a third-round pick a couple of years ago. That'll be interesting if that happens, if those quarterback-needy teams early in the draft in 3 weeks pass up on quarterbacks. Daniel Jeremiah's partner, Charles Davis, also from the NFL Network, agrees with the observation that there's a lot of buzz about the draft this year.
I think the word buzz is indicative of how people feel about this draft this year, even though the quarterbacks are a lot of wild cards right now. We're not quite sure where they're going to go off of the board, even, you know, because of the rankings. A lot of times the rankings aren't as high as maybe you would think with quarterbacks, but last year we had a dearth of quarterbacks. So people looked at the draft, and as we headed into it, remember it was a big boy draft, and we had offensive linemen come off the board at 1 and 2. This year I would say the three offensive tackles that were consensus at the top of the board are rated higher than the two that went 1 and 2 last year, but that doesn't mean they're going to go as high as they did in 2013. So it's just a matter of seeing how it comes off the board, how teams value quarterbacks, and when they go and get them. I think the depth of the draft is excellent. I'm not sure that the top players at the top of the draft rival some of the top players at the top of the draft in other drafts, but overall depth makes it a very attractive one.
That's Charles Davis, NFL Network analyst, on the draft, his overview of the draft, and he had some interesting thoughts on quarterback. He says, again, the Russell Wilson effect, the fact that Seattle chose Wilson in the third and won themselves a Super Bowl, that San Francisco got Colin Kaepernick without a premium pick and has had success with him. Cincinnati Bengals, Andy Dalton, have been in the playoffs. According to Charles Davis, that lessens the need for a bona fide early draft pick at the position. According to Charles Davis, many NFL teams are saying, quote, we want to win with the quarterback, not because of a quarterback. Some interesting thoughts from those two. Mel Kiper Jr. came up with his latest mock draft today on ESPN. It's his fourth mock draft. And with the 9th pick overall, Mel Kiper Jr. has the Bills getting offensive lineman Jake Matthews from Texas A&M. Mel Kiper's thoughts, I like this fit both in scheme and need. Matthews, the best player left on his board. Mel Kiper said, despite my early belief that Cordy Glenn would be better on the right side, he's been a good player at left tackle, which means Matthews likely comes in as the needed solution on the right side. In the second round, Mel Kiper Jr. went 2 rounds. He has the Bills drafting defensive end DeMarcus Lewis from Boise State. So a couple of interesting picks from Mel Kiper Jr. And one more draft note before we get back to some phone calls. You've heard this name a lot on the show. You'll hear it in the next 3 weeks. Tom Savage, the Pittsburgh quarterback, who was on no one's radar maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago. Well, now he's been invited to the Radio City Music Hall. According to Sam Werner of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Tom Savage, the former Pitt passer, has been invited, but he hasn't decided whether he'll attend. More teams apparently have been talking to Tom Savage in recent weeks, and his stock is soaring. We'll see how that works out. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO, talking about the draft, but mostly in this early stage, talking about the Bills vets who come back here to One Bills Drive next week on Tuesday. Who's got the most to prove? Who are you most excited to see? Which veteran is poised for the biggest jump up in their level to play this year? Chris in Williamsville. Hi, Chris. You're on the air.
Hey, John. Thanks for taking my call. I'm excited to see Stephon Gilmore. I think he's got a lot to prove. And honestly, I think he could play at a Pro Bowl caliber level at corner and be that shutdown corner that we need. He just needs the opportunity. He needs to stay healthy.
Good point, Chris. And, of course, Stephon's season got derailed by that broken wrist, a pretty seriously shattered wrist that happened in the preseason game at Washington last August. I mean, we're talking maybe two-thirds of the way into the season, it appeared, before Stephon Gilmore playing with that cast on his wrist for a long time before he was comfortable and playing the way he can. I think that's a really good point. He might be the right answer to this question based on what we saw in his rookie year. Here's a call from Jim. Hi, Jim. You're on the air.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm a big Cal Williams fan. I just heard this one guy call and said he wants to see more out of Cal Williams. I don't know who he's watching. I mean, number 95 is one of the best. We've had some great defensive centers in this, you know, city. And he's one of the best we've had. I mean, he's going into his 10th year, all pro. And you know, he should watch the game a little closer. You agree with me, but you watch the first half of almost every game, and especially against the Patriots. He gets held on almost every single down in the first half.
Yeah.
And well, seemed to get away with it.
Yeah, the thing about Kyle that is his motor is fantastic, but it's not just about his motor. He's a very skilled player who times his pass rush. I don't have any problem really with those guys up front. You know, as I said, they're Pro Bowl guys, three of them. I don't really have a problem with what they did last year, and I think you'd be reaching if you said those guys have the most improving to do, have to take the biggest jump. Ted in Pennsylvania. Hi, Ted. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay.
Okay. I think the three I'm looking forward to most improvement this year, well, we all know it has to be EJ.
Yeah.
I think if EJ turns around, we are in the playoffs, and that goes wrong with what you said about Hackett. And then I'm looking at the new guy, Chris Williams, the guard.
Yeah, tell me what you think about him.
That's what I'm – I don't know. Yeah, I've seen good things and bad things. I don't know. Their line was hurt, so maybe, you know, he had to do more things there to try to help the other guys out. And he didn't look as good, you know?
Yeah. And that's a good point. Chris Williams, I think, you know, and they've done it without a major investment in money or even in terms, you know, obviously not a draft pick. He was a free agent signing. And I keep going back to the interview we had with Greg Gabriel, the Buffalo native who was a longtime personnel man with the Chicago Bears, who actually drafted Chris Williams with the Bears, watched him play there, and had nothing but praise for him. Said he was a really good player who got caught up after a coaching switch, got caught up with a coach that didn't like him, and he didn't like the coach, and his career went south after that. That's a very good point. If Chris Williams, I mean, we talked about poised for big improvement, who's got something to prove. If Chris Williams can step in there at the left guard spot and solidify things up front there, that could be a major factor for what the Bills are trying to do offensively this year. Matt in Amherst. Hello, Matt. You're on the air.
I got two for you, John. By the way, happy Easter.
Happy Easter, Matt.
Mine is Coach Marone. I really believe he is the most approved. I mean, he believes in EJ Manuel, and he's the head coach of the team. And, you know, this is – he's kind of hitched his wagons to EJ and
sure has.
And everything, and, you know, his success as a head coach of the Bills and on into the future, it all depends on EJ. And, you know, he's really got to have his team, you know, out of the gate, ready to go, ready to rock and to show up and prove that, you know, we're ready to take the next step. And for a player wise, I really think it's Mike Williams. I mean, he was kind of given up on by Tampa Bay, and if you ask me, he's got the most to prove. This is his, you know, one of, maybe his last chance, you know. If he fails here, it's hard to believe he's going to get another chance.
Yeah, you're right, Matt. Good point. Although, you know, with Mike Williams, there's not a whole lot tied up in him in money or a 6th-round draft pick, you know, that they spent to get him here. But he has something to prove. You're right about that. And he has to kind of reclaim the form that he had early on in his career at Tampa Bay. So I think you're right about that. We'll revisit this issue as the night goes along, because the veterans are coming back Tuesday. And some of them have to, you know, show something. They have to show that they're ready for the next step. And that was the question we want to put out there. And a couple of good ideas from people, of people I had not thought of, including the offensive lineman, Chris Williams. I think you're right. He has to prove that he can solidify that left guard spot for the Bills and get back to a level of play that he had early in his career in Chicago. Good point. All right, we'll take a break, and when we come back, one of the other guys that I think could help out a lot if he is healthy and ready to go and gets back to where he was early on in his career, tight end Tony Moiaki. We'll talk with him next, coming up on the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Live from One Bills Drive tonight, this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Next Tuesday's a big day around here at One Bills Drive when the players come back. The voluntary offseason conditioning program, it is voluntary, but we expect there'll be a large group of players back here for the first time, really, since last season ended. One of the mysteries going into the offseason for the Bills is what can they get out of tight end Tony Moiaki, who they signed last December, December 4th. And Tony Moiaki, veteran tight end in the NFL, is on the line with us right now. Hi, Tony. How you doing? How's the offseason been treating you?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me. Offseason's been good. Been training out in Chicago, where I'm from, and been out back and forth from Chicago and California. So it's been good, though.
It's been a long offseason, at least from our perspective here. Do you enjoy – I mean, you guys haven't been here since December 30th, I want to say. So we're talking about the full 4 months. Does it seem that long to you?
It's seemed like it's been a while, you know. But, you know, when you're training and you're just keeping yourself busy, different weeks go by faster than the others. But I think we're all ready to get back to work.
When do you start, physical activity when it comes to training? Did you take a week or two off when the season ended on December 29th?
Yeah, I took a week off and then got back into things fairly quickly. And, you know, just been training ever since. Took another week off right in the middle of training and then got back into it again. So excited to get back and get back with the team.
Do you have a personal trainer you work with in Chicago, Tony?
Yeah, I've been training out in at EFT Chicago, out in Deerfield, Illinois.
Okay. I'm guessing you only took a week off after the season because you had kind of an extended layoff rehabbing all the injuries. You probably couldn't wait to get right back at it, huh?
Oh, yeah. I was. I think it was actually only really 5 days I took off, and then I was excited to get back to training and getting everything all squared away for OTAs in the season.
Tony Moiaki, Bills tight end, is on the line with us talking about getting set for the voluntary offseason conditioning program that starts next Tuesday here. The Bills signed you last December, Tony, and then they waited really 3 weeks before they got you going. Inactive the first two, you dressed against Miami and then played a little bit against New England. What did you get out of that month you spent here at One Bills Drive last December?
I just got, a good foundation of learning the offense. I got to know the players, especially the quarterbacks, offensive players, and just got, into a playbook in that month and just kind of got comfortable with everything and got my feet under me. So it was a good month.
When you talk about getting into the playbook, had you been around an offense quite like this offense when you spent those first few years of your career in Kansas City?
Yeah, I mean, I take pride in, learning the playbook fast. And, when all these different offenses, there's always a lot of carryover with plays, and you just got to get the terminology and stuff like that down. That's the real challenge. And we're doing no huddle, so that was a little different, but at the end of the day, it's football, and you just got to, you know, make sure you understand the plays and, like, take what you've learned in your previous, in my case, previous 3 years of offenses and just try to make the connection. So,
how were you physically last December, Tony, when you got here? I mean, you had, you know, you went to camp with Kansas City and then hurt your shoulder, right? And then you had the injury settlement. By the time you got here December 4th, were you physically ready to play?
Yeah, I felt good. I felt like I was moving around fairly decent. And, the shoulder obviously was, you know, weaker than usual, but still strong. And now that I have the off season, now that I've been training the off season, you know, it feels back to 100%. So
yeah,
real excited.
You had the shoulder, you know, a year ago, and then of course the knee that kept you out the whole year. Are those like the focus of your attention, or is it like second nature to you now? You don't have to pay attention to those old injuries when you work out now.
Yeah, it's just, you know, second nature now. Those are really the only two injuries I've had in the NFL. So, you know, just getting those back to normal has been awesome, and now I'm ready to go.
We're with Tony Moyaki. Bills tight end is getting set to come back for the voluntary offseason conditioning program next week here at One Bills Drive. You talked about going back and forth to California. If I'm not mistaken, some of that time was spent with your Buffalo Bills teammates, right, throwing the football around with E.J. Manuel.
Yep. We got together out there and had like a three-day throwing session every morning out there. So, you know, it was awesome to see some of the guys. Great to see EJ, and we got to hang out too and spend some time together just to, you know, get to know each other a little bit more. So, you know, it was a good trip, fun trip, and we got a lot of work done, so it was good.
How many Buffalo Bills were out there for those few days of workouts, Tony?
There was about, I want to say, six of us.
Okay. And what do you do? I mean, it's one thing to go out and play catch, but do you run, like, pass patterns, Buffalo Bills pass patterns, or does EJ call plays like you were running no huddle here? How much, I guess what I'm asking is, how much of what's done here with the Bills translates to, you know, what you half a dozen guys were doing out in California a couple months ago?
Oh, you know, it was EJ's show out there. He took control of it. He had everything planned out. Had the routes we were going to run pre-planned, and it was calling out our play. So it was nice to, you know, hear some of the terminology again. And, you know, we're just throwing routes, and he was, we were just working on different looks and stuff like that. And like I said, we all got a lot of work in, and but EJ, you know, credit to him, was kind of planning that whole thing and had everything all squared away when we got there, so it was good.
Did was EJ the only quarterback? You didn't wear out his arm out there that week, did you?
No, he was the only quarterback, and that's he was fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was throwing a lot of balls, but he was fine, moving around great, and it was good to get out there with him.
I would think that's a good opportunity, not for just on-field work, but bonding, especially for you, who only had a month to get together with your new teammates here in Buffalo, huh?
Yeah, we were working out in the morning, and then all morning we'd lift after, and then we were just hanging out. So it was a fun week, and you know, we worked hard, and it was great.
Hey, Tony, tell me about your approach to this upcoming season. With the injuries you had, you lost one season and actually then lost most of another one last year.
Yeah.
How much do you feel like you have to prove going into this 2014 season?
I feel like I have everything to prove. You know, this is – I'm just excited to get back and just get out there for OTAs and – prove what I can do and just, you know, try to help the team, show that I can help the team in different ways and just take it one day at a time and, I just want to work hard and just let the chips fall where they may.
You got to feel pretty good about what you've already put up in the NFL when you're healthy. I mean, 35, 45 catches for per year for a couple of years. You got to feel like you have a resume to point to that demonstrates to you and everybody else that you can play, you can contribute in this league.
Yeah, I feel like I've been productive when healthy, and I'm back to being healthy. So, and I still want to, improve that. So, like I said, I just need to take it one day at a time, and just take one practice at a time, and just really hone in and focus on details, and just show what I can do.
I know you haven't had much of an opportunity to be around this coaching staff, but do you anticipate the offense would change at all, evolve maybe a little bit now in the second year, especially with EJ in his second year?
I'm not real sure. I would assume that's just the natural thing with a second year quarterback. So, I mean, we'll see what happens, but we all, as an offense and as a whole team, just have a lot of work to do, and we just need to, focus in on the details and just really work hard this off season and take it into camp and have a good camp.
All right. Well, the work here in Orchard Park starts next Tuesday, Tony. We hope to see you here around the building next Tuesday. Thanks very much for being on the show with us tonight.
Oh, no problem. I'll see you guys Tuesday.
We'll see you next week. Tony Moiaki, Bills tight end. He spent the last month of the season with the Bills, got in some work in the final game at New England on special teams, but looking now to take the big jump up and maybe contribute to the Bills at the tight end spot this year is going to be one of the interesting stories when the offseason workouts begin on Tuesday. Got a lot more to come. Stick around. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO, live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Tony Moriaki, our thanks to him for joining us tonight on the radio show. Tight end. Didn't have a whole lot to say, but I don't care what he has to say. I want to see how he looks when the veterans come back next week, and more importantly, when they hit the field for organized team activity. We're talking about that. What do you want to see when the vets come back? Who's poised for the biggest improvement from a year ago? Who are you most excited to have back? And who has the most to prove? Phone lines open for the next few minutes here. 803-0550 is the number, or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Or you can do it via Twitter at John Murphy Show. A couple of tweets on this matter. Sean Franklin tweets in, excited to see EJ back at One Bills Drive. I want Brandon Spikes to back up his tweets, looking for him to have a big year. Yeah, I can get on board with that. Buffalo fan tweets in, how about the O-line? If they don't play well, EJ, CJ, and the whole offense will struggle. Yep. Bills fan speak up tweets in, Hackett has the most to prove. This offense took a big step backwards. I don't know about that. From the year before to last year, did they really take a big step backwards? James Renfro tweets in, Chris Hairston. Chris Hairston, EJ, CJ, Chris Hairston. The offense. Let's go. Okay. Well, Chris Hairston, I think, is a mystery man. Nobody quite knows what they're going to get from Chris Hairston when the veterans return. If he even returns next week, that'll be a question that'll be front and center. There are others, too. I think EJ is first on everybody's list as the guy who is poised for the biggest improvement, the guy whose improvement would benefit the team more than anybody else, the most approved, perhaps. Stevie Johnson, I think. T.J. Graham. We've gone through some of these names before. The safeties. Chris Williams, the new guy who's going to be in there at left guard. A lot of candidates. It strikes me how many candidates there are, veterans returning, who we don't quite know what to expect. And they're going to need some serious contributions from a lot of these guys if they're going to move forward. Give us a call if you have thoughts on that. I want to remind you, if you're looking ahead to the draft, you should look every day at BuffaloBills.com, because every day Chris Brown and I have our draft preview. Today, Alabama safety Ha-Ha Clinton Dix is previewed with all kinds of video highlights. Chris Brown did that one. Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, the safety from Alabama. Eric Ebron, the tight end from North Carolina, was up yesterday. Every day from now until the day before the draft, May 7th, we'll have another installment of our draft preview sponsored by Time Warner Cable. So take a look at that. Not only do you hear from the prospects themselves from the combine, but you get to see their highlights. So if you have an opinion about one of these players, somebody that maybe has already caught your eye, you get a chance to look at the highlights. It's all right there at BuffaloBills.com. And if you want to predict who the Bills might pick, you might as well try to win something for it. The Bills and M&T Bank have predict the picks up again. And one fan who wins this is going to get an exclusive meet and greet with the Bills' first pick. Go to BuffaloBills.com, predict the picks. You're asked a series of 10 multiple-choice questions, and the contest runs through May 7th with the NFL draft the next day. Fans who get 80% or more correct are entered to win the contest grand prize, which is that meet and greet with the Bills' first pick. Go to BuffaloBills.com, predict the picks to see more. It's at BuffaloBills.com, the Bills and M&T Bank predict the picks contest. Coming up, we're going to talk about the picks. We're going to talk about the draft. Dan Shanka is the founder and CEO of Our Lad's Guide to the NFL Draft. He's coming up next. You can phone in your comments and questions for him. 803-0550, the number, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. An hour to go, the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Live tonight at One Bills Drive, this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
And this crowd is on its feet, and it is pandemonium. And that's only the half of it.
He's got Goodwin open in the end zone. Touchdown! Touchdown! Flash Goodwin!
I like that kind of party, baby!
Halftime is over. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
You can't stop C.J. Spiller. You can't stop him. How did he do it? How did he do it?
Let's go sometime.
Hey, yeah. Hold hands. Let's go. Check it out.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, supplying natural gas and electricity to thousands of homes and businesses across Western New York.
Everybody's on their feet in the stands. This crowd is absolutely whipped into a frenzy.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO on Buffalo Bills Radio.
It is hour two of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO, and exactly 3 weeks from tonight. I think 3 weeks from right now. I think the draft starts at 8 p.m. 3 weeks away, the NFL draft at Radio City Music Hall. What better time to have our next guest on the air? He's been covering the draft for a long time. He is the general manager and national scout of Our Lad's Guides. He's been involved in player personnel work for almost 40 years around the NFL. He's played the game, coached the game, recruited high school players, scouted professionally for the Eagles, the Redskins, and the Kansas City Chiefs. Dan Shanka, who is the GM and national scout for Our Lads, is on the line with us. Hi, Dan. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great, John. Great being with you.
Dan, thanks for coming on. 3 weeks away, and I believe you just got your final draft guide to the publisher and out today. It'll be in the mailbox when, Dan?
Yeah, it's being mailed. Actually, it's at the mailing room now, going out tomorrow. And so hopefully all the fans out there will be getting them, I guess, Tuesday or Wednesday of next week.
I look forward to it. I told you, I've been a subscriber for decades now. I can't even think about the draft without Our Lad's Guides. I'm really a big fan, and that's an unsolicited testimonial, Dan.
Well, thank you so much. And we've got the database to prove it, because you're in every year. So we appreciate it, John.
Yeah, no problem. Hey, thanks for coming on with us. We're talking about the draft, and we invite our listeners, if you have comments or questions about the draft now 3 weeks away, give us a call, 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. And, Dan, tell me about Our Lads. I know you do a mock draft, I believe, but it seems to me the key to Our Lads is not really – the mock draft. I mean, that's not really the business you're in when you publish this draft guide, right?
No, it's I tell you what, it's very popular, though.
Yeah, I know.
It's unbelievable, but no, I think it's the evaluation of the players, and since we're the only independent organization out there with all former scouts that write up our information and do the evaluations, and then we've got guys that also are evaluating some of these players and things that are like in the area of, say, the MAC conference or what have you, that you know, they see these guys and write up little reports for us and stuff. So it's a good little cross section, and that, I guess that's what it's called, Our Lads, because it got a lot of people are involved.
Yeah. You know, it struck me today, the probably the most famous draft evaluator out there, Mel Kiper Jr., issued a mock draft today. And the guy he had number one a couple of weeks ago, Khalil Mack from University at Buffalo, is now his number five. You do a mock draft. You follow this stuff. What happens? How does that happen? What happens to a player that he could go from the top of the draft to four spots later when, you know, he hasn't played a game? He's done a few pro days probably, but nothing really has happened in the last month or so.
Well, I guess it depends who you talk. I mean, we don't talk to anybody, John. I mean, ours is strictly an independent evaluation of how we see these guys. And, you know, we don't get on the phone and work the phones and the internet and all that stuff. It's what, you know, the experience of our scouting staff, what we've seen is, you know, makes it, it puts the guy in place. And you know, it really, things shouldn't go up and down so much, but the thing you want to keep in mind is the stuff that you see out there in you know, cyberspace and from Mel and, you know, some people like that are just, it's basically their opinion on what is there, but it's not the teams that are saying anything. That's why, you know, if the teams said that, hey, this guy fell, I'd be a little bit worried about it, but because it's just opinions and content or whatever you want to call it out there, it doesn't really, a guy shouldn't fall, like I said, unless the only thing that, let's just say Clowney's number one for people, and it came out all of a sudden that, you know, he had a bale of marijuana in his trunk or, you know, something like that, that would, you know, would cause a guy to drop, you know, or stuff coming out late, say about his medical or something like that. That would affect drop. But basically, you're right, John. I mean, this stuff does. You don't drop a guy, you know, who hasn't played a game.
Yeah, Dan Shaka, our guest, he's general manager, national scout for Our Lad's Guide to the NFL Draft. Phone lines open if you have a comment or a question. 803-0550, the number to call. Well, I will ask you about your mock draft, your most recent one, in a moment, Dan. But who's your number one player on the board?
Well, our mock draft that's coming out in our guide,
yep,
is completely new from what's online right now. We haven't updated that, and we probably won't until our subscribers get the new mock draft stuff. But our first player out there in the number one slot is Jadeveon Clowney, which is, you know, no big surprise. I don't think anybody would think that Houston is probably going to take him and go the second round for a quarterback, and so I think that Clowney, he's the best athlete out there, probably at any position. You know, and obviously there's a lot of stuff we don't particularly like, you know, the motor that turns off and on. But the bottom line is he's an outstanding player. I mean, he can boom or bust now. I mean, this guy could, you know, lay an egg as soon as he gets his first paycheck and things. So, I mean, those are things you got to be leery of. And right now, he is the best player at any position out there, the best athlete, I should say. That may not be the best player, but he's the best athlete at any position.
Dan, when you got a guy like that, and you've been around NFL teams, do you think most teams, scouts, and maybe even more so coaches, look at a guy with all that talent and say, I'll take care of him, I can fix that motor problem, that lack of motivation that seems to pop up from time to time? Don't worry about that, we'll fix that. Is that how they approach it?
Yeah, I tell you what, more so than you think. I think that, and that's the optimism of coaches. You know, I mean, if you're a football coach, generally you're very optimistic. You think you can, you know, get the best out of a player, or you know, say, hey, give me the raw material. You know, give me a lump of coal, I'll make a diamond out of them. You know what I mean? And
yeah,
that type of attitude. Sometimes that overshadows. You got to be a profiler. I mean, this is what the guy is. Now, I mean, I've been in many, many draft rooms where, you know, coaches say, hey, I want a tight end that does this, that. But, hey, coach, you know, that guy, he doesn't block very well. You know, oh, that's okay, we'll work on his block. You know, coach, now he doesn't block well, but he can catch the ball. And then you get into camp, and then the guy can't block. And the coach says, well, why in the hell did we draft him? You know, and that's the way it is. And then I'll say, well, hey, here's my notes, coach. You said you could teach him to block. So, you know, but I mean, that, I'll guarantee you that happens. And that's happened darn near every year that, you know, that I've either coached or scouted or what have you, you know. So, no, that's the optimism of coaches.
Yeah. You mentioned a second ago how the Houston Texans likely going to take Jadeveon Clowney and wait until their second pick to get a quarterback. And I think it was Daniel Jeremiah on the NFL Network said essentially the same thing, that some of those quarterback-needy teams in, say, the top 10 of the draft may elect to wait a little bit. What's going on there, do you think, Dan?
Well, I think you've got to go with the best player. I mean, these quarterbacks, we've only got one quarterback going in our first round of the mock draft.
Really?
Okay, now, yeah, now that doesn't mean – I mean, you used to be able – I tell you, John, you used to put a first-round grade on these guys that you could salt away and in 3 years, you know, get them ready. Well, you don't have that anymore, so you better take the best player available. You want a guy coming and start for – if you're a top 10, you know, picking team, you want somebody that's going to help upgrade your ball club right away, and I'll guarantee you, none of those quarterbacks could do that. Now, and plus it all depends on where they get picked. I mean, or what team picks them, because if you don't do certain things with that guy, I thought really Buffalo did a nice job last year taking Emmanuel. I mean, they worked, let him work the short passes and things like that and kind of developed him as a quarterback. Whereas you look at the Jets, they take Geno Smith and he's going down the field. You know, the only quarterback threw down the field more was Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to use some sense when you're going to draft these guys and develop them and don't blow their confidence and things. So that's why I think these guys, it all depends. Now, if Bill O'Brien decided, you know, for whatever reason, and the staff there decided that, hey, we're going to take Bortles, I guess I couldn't argue that because I think Bill O'Brien will develop him. But I think they know that he's 3 years away.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what they'll do is they'll go ahead and take Clowney. And then, I mean, you'd be rolling the dice. And like I said, you can lump a lot of these quarterbacks in the second round. And so I think that, you know, hey, it'd be a long shot probably. But Bortles, what if he's there at 33? You know, yeah. I mean, he could be. I mean, you just don't. You don't know what people have on their boards right now. They're saying, well, everybody's talking about this guy in the first round. He's not a first-round guy. That's what they're saying in different draft rooms right now, because you got 32 different opinions on these guys. And, you know, you can get a good – at the top 10, I mean, you got some really good players up there that I don't think I'd take any of these quarterbacks in place of.
Who's the quarterback you have in your first round, in our lad's first round?
26th pick going to Cleveland, Manziel.
Wow. Yeah, because just a couple weeks ago, people are talking about three quarterbacks in the top 10. That certainly changed over the last few weeks. And again, this is a question, kind of the similar question I asked a minute ago. What happened? The pro days mean that much, or the information is not accurate when it first comes out a couple of weeks ago? What do you think happened?
Well, I think, hey, you remember last year right there in Buffalo, Nassib going the first round to Buffalo?
Right.
I mean, how much did you see that getting beat to death, and he went in the fourth round, you know? And, so it's just, I mean, first of all, the teams and the coaches, hey, the coaches had a hard, long season, and then they get into evaluating these players, the Senior Bowl, and they're studying their tape and doing all that now, whereas, you know, all the stuff you saw up there before basically was a lot of amateurs, you know, throwing stuff against the wall and see what's going to stick. And I think, you know, right now that when you evaluate those two quarterbacks like Bortles and Bridgewater, they've got talent. They did not play against great competition. You know, I think that they didn't see big-time corners. There's a lot of things that will go into evaluation that's kind of coming out now that, you know, Bortles and Bridgewater, six teams they played against combined for like 13 wins. I mean, they did not play a good competition last year. Now, Bortles, they end up winning, you know, beating Baylor out of the Fiesta Bowl, and then you know, Bridgewater the year before beat Florida, and then he found out now those two corners of Florida can't run. I mean, you know, so it's just, I think the process is ongoing, but things are starting to fall into place right now, John.
Yeah. Hey, Dan, you mentioned E.J. Manuel a moment ago, and it was a couple of weeks ago when I believe it was Charlie Casserly, the former Redskins and Texans executive, said something like Manuel would be like the ninth quarterback chosen in this year's draft. I'm not buying that. What do you think?
Well, I don't think he'd be down there that far, but he was drafted, you know, so he could be developed as a quarterback, and I think, you know, people understand that, No, I tell you what, hey, Phil Simms came out and said there wasn't a quarterback in this draft that was better than Geno Smith. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's how the opinions are out there, and I think really, none of these quarterbacks are a franchise quarterback. I mean, a franchise quarterback, you know, is an Andrew Luck, and those guys don't come around very often.
We're on the line with Dan Shanke. He is the general manager, national scout for Our Lad's Guide to the NFL Draft. Here in Buffalo, a lot of focus on the wide receiver group in this year's draft, Dan. At number nine, the Bills drafting number nine, would they have a shot, would you think, at Mike Evans from Texas A&M? I don't anticipate Sammy Watkins would be there at number nine, would he?
No, I tell you, I can't see Watkins really, falling by three. And I'll tell you why. If Clowney goes at one, I really believe that Jacksonville is going to grab Watkins. Because they need – it's kind of a perfect storm where, you know, need meets, you know, great player. And, he's sitting right there for them. And I think it'd be really hard to pass a big time. I know the receiver situation's deep, but this guy is, a special guy. So I think that, three would be Jacksonville, two is St. Louis, and St. Louis likes him a lot, but I think that St. Louis is probably going to go with a tackle, so Jacksonville, I just can't see Watkins bitten by three. Now, but again, it all depends on these quarterbacks. Now, say for some weird reason all three quarterbacks go up there towards that, well, Buffalo's going to love that. They're going to say, well, hey, we're going to get our pick up. Hey, if we want another tackle, you know, if we want a guy to either compete with Harrison or beat him out, we can get one of these tackles that's going to fall to us, or we can go to another position. But Watkins, I would doubt very much if he's going to, fall. I mean, he won't get by four, and he certainly wouldn't get by five. But I just think he's going to go at three to, at Jacksonville at the worst.
What do you make of Mike Evans out of Texas A&M?
Big, strong guy. That's Vince Evans. Vince Jackson. I mean, that's what he is. I mean, he's the big, strong, and he's ahead of Jackson when Jackson came out of Northern Colorado. And I think, he's got some nuances to learn about the route running and things in the league, but he's a big, strong guy. He's perfect for Buffalo up there when it gets cold and the wind's blowing and things. You got a big target to throw to. Like him, and he's our second-rated receiver after Watkins.
And who do you have third? The last time I looked, you guys are pretty high on Odell Beckham Jr. out of LSU, huh?
Yeah, we like him a whole lot. I'll tell you, the receivers there, and we don't want to get Marquise Lee lost either.
Yep.
He's up in that mix. But I tell you, we like Beckham because he's just a little bit thicker build kind of guy, and he burned it up well. He ran a 4.4 flat, and he's got great explosion. And we like Lee a whole lot, and we also like Brandon Cooks, who's kind of like a Steve Smith, like a compact running back. When he catches the ball, I mean, he explodes up the field and it's out the gate. So there's three other really good ones for people right after Evans.
Offensive lineman, again, interest here in Buffalo in some of those tackles. I don't know if, is Jake Matthews Warrant ninth overall? At last mock draft you guys said, you had him going number two.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I'd be surprised if any of those tackles fall past. Really, we got Taylor Lewan going at four to Cleveland. We think they're going to bypass, any of the quarterbacks at that point. I think they'll have a hard decision if Watkins is there, but for a new general manager, Ray Farmer comes in there, the safest pick for him, and they could sure use him, at right tackle. But I think that they could put Taylor Lewan in there. I really believe Matthews is going to be off the board at two to St. Louis.
Wow.
And then I think and the reason those two are ahead of Robinson is because they both played 4 years, have experience at big-time competition, and Robinson's only played 2 years. Now, Robinson might be the best guy in 5 years, and he's going to be a good player, but he is way behind the pass pro right now. And I'll tell you, that's not a good thing because, hey, when you're bringing guys in, they got to be able to do it right now. And but he's an outstanding run blocker, and he will be an outstanding pass protector because he's got all the tools. But he's behind those two right now as a pass protector.
Hey, Dan, when I hear you talk about the tackles like that, is it is it fair to say that your group maybe puts less stock in potential in development as it does in production? Because most people have it the other way when it comes to those tackles. They have Robinson because of the potential to be good, as the number one tackle among that group. Do you guys look more at what's actually been done and what's on film?
Yeah, well, we look at the four-year production of a guy, too. I mean, Robinson's played 2 years in a run-oriented scheme where all he did is basically block down and crush people. Or in pass pro, he's way behind. He does a lot of lunging, drops his head. I mean, fundamentally, he's not a good pass protector. So, and like I said, 5 years down the road, he may be fine. But he's got a lot of work to do, and when you're drafting a guy that high, Matthews is perfect. I mean, he's ready to go. He can come on, and he'll do a great job. And believe me, nowadays in the NFL, you don't have a long time to develop a guy. He's got to get in there and play. Matthews can do that. Luan, we grade all those guys athletically at the combine, and, all three of those tackles were in the top four of the offensive linemen that worked out, and Matthews was fourth of that group, and Luan was first, Robinson was second. And then Batanio from Nevada is actually third, a guy that a lot of people haven't heard of, but he's an outstanding player. But nevertheless, that's how it worked out in the athletic part at the combine. But Matthews has been our guy up there for St. Louis for a long time.
One more question, Dan, before we let you go. And I came across this on your website about a week ago. You wrote a story about underrated running backs, and I was happy to see that a local favorite of ours, Brandon Oliver from University at Buffalo, you mentioned is underrated. We just had him on the show a week ago. I'm not sure he's going to be drafted, but you indicate that some teams may take a late-round flyer on Brandon Oliver, huh?
Yeah, I tell you what, he was an explosive guy. In fact, I really wanted to see him in the East-West game, wanted to get him down there so people could see him and everything, and unfortunately it didn't happen. But we think he's kind of a diamond in the rough and a guy that when he gets the opportunity is going to do well, and he'll be on some NFL roster.
I hope you're right. Dan, give us the information, people listening who might have interest in buying your products. I get the year-round package, the newsletters that come several times a year, plus the guide that I hope to see in my mailbox next Monday or Tuesday. But for anyone listening who might be interested, where should they go? Is there a website?
Yeah, John, they can go ahead and go to ourlads.com. And, hey, while they're there, they can do a mock draft and win $500, too. We have a mock draft challenge on there. But go to ourlads.com. They can order the guide on there online. They can play the mock draft challenge and show how much smarter they are than us and or anybody else out there. And then, or they can give us a phone call at 1-800-PRO-DRAFT, and we'll get them fixed up for this with the guide coming out.
That's great. Dan, I'm hoping that it's in my mailbox Monday. I've got Monday off, and I would love nothing better than to dig into Our Lad's Guide on Monday, all day.
Thank you so much, John. Great being with you.
Thanks. Dan Shaka, he is the General Manager, National Scout for Our Lads Scouting Services, Our Lads Guide to the NFL Draft. You can go to ourlads.com to get more information on the guide and all of their products, newsletters. They probably produce a half dozen or more newsletters that come through the course of the year, including during the college football season. I usually keep mine right next to the TV for Saturday, so when you're watching college games, you can kind of figure out who the prospects are. You know what's great in bowl season when you've got all that college football and you whip out your latest Our Lads newsletter and figure out who's playing and who the NFL prospects are. How's that for an endorsement? Wow. Sounds like I'm on the payroll there. All right, when we return, Brandon Kaufman, who's coming back with the veterans next week, trying to solidify a spot on this Buffalo Bills roster. He's going to join us live next. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Live tonight from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
We talked about it at the top of the show, how Bills veterans are coming back here for the voluntary offseason conditioning program on Tuesday. It starts Tuesday, about a five-week program, and one of those who will be here is on the line with us right now, a receiver going into his second year with the Buffalo Bills, signed as a free agent after the draft last year, wideout Brandon Kaufman. Hello, Brandon. How are you? Thanks for coming on the show with us tonight.
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
You're starting here next Tuesday with a voluntary program, but have you been around town? Have you been here at the complex working out in the mornings anyway on your own?
Yeah, I drove out here last week from Colorado, and I've been here since.
What's tell me what the mindset is when you do that. I mean, you know that they call it voluntary, and it starts next Tuesday, but did you feel like you needed to get a jump on the conditioning side of things coming here a week early?
I mean, yeah, I've been doing a lot back home. I've been running and lifting all the way through since the season ended, but I just felt like I should get out here, get all my things situated, and also just get a feel for what the workouts are going to be like.
Brandon Coffman is with us, the Bills receiver. A year ago, Brandon, you were waiting for the draft. The draft came and went. You were not picked, but the Bills made you a priority free agent signing right after the draft. Tell me what's changed for you in that last year. I mean, do you feel like you're back at square one, or do you feel like you're a little bit further ahead than you were a year ago at this time?
You know, I feel like a little bit ahead. I mean, after I got released, I gained some weight and some good weight, and I came back in better shape and more suitable for the league. And I think I had a good last 3 weeks with the team, and I think I'm in a better position now.
You were released around the final cutdown, the end of August, and then it was three and a half months when they brought you back on December 10th. How did you spend those three-plus months, Brandon?
All I did was just work out. I mean, each week, six of those weeks, I was working out for other teams. So, I mean, it was just a constant like thing of when I would be ready or when I'd be called up or not. So, I just worked out, tried to stay in shape, got a little heavier, and.
That must be a bit of a grind, even though you're looking for the opportunity to show what you can do, to have to jump on a plane and be at your best, like probably the next morning on somebody's practice field. Probably Tuesday workouts, I would think, for the most part, huh?
Yeah, exactly. On the Tuesdays, I would get called out and go work out. And it was a frustrating 14 weeks, but very, very happy I ended up back here.
Yeah.
I wanted to be the whole time.
What's that like? Is it like a cattle call? I mean, did you find yourself with other receivers, maybe even same type of receivers when you did those workouts for the most part, Brandon?
Sometimes. I mean, the first couple were like that through the beginning of the season, but then as it progress, I'd just be the only receiver, or be one other receiver, and probably be like a smaller guy. So you really had no idea what was going on.
Yeah, and you do the workout, you go through it, and then what? Do they say we'll call you, or they say we're not interested today? How do you leave it with these teams when you're working out like that?
Yeah, some would be that way. Some would be they're not interested, or the other way would just be that they say they call and they're just trying to work you out for if they needed someone throughout the season or not. So, but yeah, I mean, it all worked out well.
What goes into those workouts, those Tuesday workouts that free agents have with teams around the NFL? Do they have you catching balls, catching passes from a quarterback, or what's the typical routine for a wide receiver?
A little bit like a pro day. You'd run your 40, you'd run your drills, and then you just run routes for about 20 minutes.
Is it pressure-filled, would you say, Brandon? Because you know what's on the line in those workouts. Do you feel like you got to perform on a Tuesday morning?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you do feel that way, but at the same time, you understand the team kind of have an idea of what they want. So, you can't put too much pressure on yourself because you don't know if that's going to be the day, or what you do there is going to be what gets you signed or not. So you don't know. So you just got to just do what you can, and then if it works out, it works out.
Plus, all of these NFL teams, I'm fairly certain, have a college tape on you. They have they have scout reports on you. It's not like you go in there as a totally unknown quantity when you go those workouts, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's a reason they call in the first place. I mean, whether it be camp or college, they're calling about, but yeah.
We're with Brandon Coffman, Bills wide receiver, who went to camp with the Bills last year, was cut at the end of August, then re-signed to the roster on December 10th, and he's back in town getting set for the return of the Bills to the voluntary off-season conditioning program, which is coming up next Tuesday. Brandon, when you look back at, first of all, you said a moment ago how where you really wanted to be all along was the Buffalo Bills. Why is that?
Just all the relationships built throughout camp, and I mean, just still staying in contact with those guys while I was still working out back home, and I just always wanted to come back. I had good friends up here. I liked the way the team was running, so I liked the community.
When you look at last summer and the preseason games that you got into, you had to feel pretty good about what you put on tape and the performance you put on the field back then.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I felt like I did a lot in the preseason. I felt like the main thing is holding me back with the special teams, and that's pretty much why I decided to make the gains I did when I was released, I could become more of a, because so I could assist more on special teams.
What did they tell you to do that? To tell you that they needed you? You know, if you're going to come back, maybe you had to contribute more on teams.
Yeah. When I was talking to Coach Marone, when I was getting released, he definitely mentioned the special teams aspect. But then, I mean, it was my agent's idea to get up to 235. And then just recently when we left the season, when I was just in the cafeteria with I was just getting some food, and Mr. Brandon, he mentioned about keeping the weight going. So now I'm about 245, and I talked to Coach Hackett, and we'll see if I end up being a stand-up tight end or a slot receiver or something like that. He mentioned that.
Wow, 245. I mean, I'm looking at last year's roster, and who knows what these numbers mean, but what I'm reading, that's about 30 pounds heavier than what you were listed at going into the season last year. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I put on about 30 pounds since being released, and it started out with just trying to get up to be a bigger receiver and just a stronger receiver, but then it kind of turned into being like a stand-up tight end out of the backfield, so I split out just sort of that type of move guy. And, I mean, it's been mentioned a few times, and I had a phone call with Coach Hackett saying the same thing. So just looking forward to if that happens during OTAs, just trying to be productive doing that, trying to get with the tight ends coach and learning everything I can for that position, as well as Coach Moore when I meet him.
You know, that's good. I guess I would interpret that as a good sign, the fact that they're reaching out to you and seeing, you know, how the weight gain is going. And, I mean, it's not like you're out of sight, out of mind. They obviously have given some thought as to how you might be able to help this team, Brandon, huh?
Yeah, possibly. I mean, I feel good about it. I feel good about if this position change happens. I definitely think that's where I can be most productive with this team especially. So, yeah, I'd like that opportunity.
Hey, Brandon, earlier tonight we had Tony Moyaki on the show, and he was talking about he went to like a little passing, a week's worth of passing drills with E.J. Manuel out in California. Did you go to that? Were you involved in some of that earlier this spring?
Yeah, it was 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago maybe. Went out to Orange County and threw with E.J. and his quarterback coach. Hung out with Tony for the most part throughout the whole time. That was a lot of fun.
What did you get out of that?
Sorry, we went to Miami this last weekend and did that same thing again. But what got out for it was just good to just see EJ slinging it. I mean, I worked the outside receiver pretty much the whole time I was in California, and then we went down to Miami this past week. I just stayed pretty much inside and tight end type work. So yeah, it was a lot. It was good, especially this last week, just talking to EJ about this new position and just trying to get on the same page with that.
How many guys were down in Miami this past week?
Last week it was just Stevie, Kevin, and then, yeah, EJ and me.
Wow, Kevin Elliott.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, he looks good too.
Yeah. Well, that's good to know. I mean, fans don't realize that, and the offseason seems so long, especially since you guys don't come back till next week. No one can really afford to just not do anything during this period, right? And especially when it comes to timing with your quarterback.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if you look at, like, the great teams around the league, all their quarterbacks are working with their receivers right now, and I'm sure it's important to take a couple weeks off after the season, but as far as for my case, I was only up here for 3 weeks, so the minute I got back home, I just started up again, had the goal of getting up to 245.
Brandon, you've been through this before, last spring and summer, trying to win a spot on the roster. How will your now you've tell us about the potential position switch, at least getting to look at a stand-up tight end. How will your approach change, when you come back here Tuesday? I know you don't do a lot in teamwork on the field yet, but how will your approach change in the weeks and months ahead once you get back here on a regular basis to One Bills Drive?
I mean, there's everything the competition the whole time, and I mean, You they're your teammates and they're your good friends, but at the same time, it's just always a competition for everything, and just working hard and just grinding the whole time.
Well, we look forward to having you here next Tuesday. We need some of that energy from the players in the building next week. We look forward to seeing you here, Brandon. Thanks a lot for coming on the show with us tonight to talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Very, very excited about this next week.
All right. We'll see you here Tuesday. Brandon Kaufman, Bills receiver. maybe Bill's tight end. Our thanks to him for joining us tonight. You heard him say that he's been told to get ready to maybe get a look at some tight end type things, stand-up tight end outside off the line of scrimmage a little bit, outside the tackles a little bit, and maybe some special teams work for Brandon Kaufman as well. Interesting. All right, we'll take a break. And then we'll be back with more. Lines are open if you have something to say about anything you've heard tonight. 803-0550 or toll-free 1-888-550-2550. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Live tonight from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This is the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Some interesting nuggets from Brandon Kaufman, I thought. I didn't know that they had another little passing camp down in Florida last week. Did you? Did anybody know? I didn't know that. How did I not know that? That's good. E.J. Manuel with...
We weren't invited.
We weren't invited. We would have taken the show down there, and that's why they didn't tell anybody. We would have done the show down there, probably. That's an interesting nugget.
Probably playing shirts and skins.
<down there. laughs> And the other nugget about getting some work as a stand-up tight end, I think that's going to be interesting to see. See? There's interesting things going on with this team that we don't even know about. We're finding out tonight. Our thanks to Brandon Kaufman for joining us tonight to talk about it. Of course, the draft 3 weeks away. We've talked about that. Earlier today, a conference call from the NFL Network's two stars of the draft, Charles Davis and Daniel Jeremiah. And we mentioned this with Dan Shaka earlier this hour, the trend that may be developing that some of the quarterback needy teams early in the first round may be ready to wait until their second pick to get their quarterback. Here's what Daniel Jeremiah and Charles Davis said about that on the conference call today.
Everybody likes to say they're going to take the best player available. Every team says that. But, you know, the quarterback is the one position where you can get out of sorts and you can move guys above where their grade is. But I think when we saw that draft with Ponder and Gabbert and Locker, I think that kind of scared some teams saying, hey, you know, let's stay true to our board. While we need a quarterback, let's not force it. And you have the Seattle effect of them winning a Super Bowl with a third-round quarterback. You got San Francisco, most people would agree, is the second-best team in the league, winning football games with a quarterback that wasn't selected in the first round. So I think there's the theory going around, let's build up our roster with as many talented players as we can, and then we can insert the quarterback at that point in time. Have yourself a veteran. You can get through the next couple years as you groom a younger player. And that's one thing all those teams you've talked about have done in the offseason. They've brought in a veteran or re-signed a veteran that's functional, that they can play with. And I think that's going to allow them the freedom to not force it in the draft. Now, they're saying they're not going to force it. We'll see when they end up going on the clock if they can hold to it. But I think that's also why we're seeing so much buzz building on this next tier of quarterbacks. We talk about Tom Savage, Jimmy Garoppolo, A.J. McCarron, Zach Mettenberger, all these guys kind of getting some play. I think teams are trying to talk themselves into that second group so they can take a big-time positional player early in the draft, CD.
Yeah, this is Charles. Just to follow up on that, I think he hit all the high points really well. The teams seem to be wanting to have the formula now of we want to win with the quarterback, not have the quarterback win for us. I mean, if you look at Seattle, I don't think you can say that Russell Wilson won for them. That wasn't how they were designed. He was very effective because he could hand the ball off. They could run it. Defense played well for them. Andy Dalton was one we didn't mention, who was a second-round guy who's been a starter since day one. They've been to three straight playoffs. I know he catches a lot of criticism, but I know a lot of teams in this league would like to be able to have a guy that they've gone to three straight playoffs with, and he's played better than just simply the team winning all for him. He's been a part of them winning football games. But then we look at this year's crop of quarterbacks. If you're not flat out sold that guy takes you into the future as your lead guy, and that's why Daniel's talked about it already. To me, as this draft goes on in the first round, who has conviction about certain quarterbacks from the second round and may jump into the first to make sure they get their guy, or we may go dark at the end of round one, teasing that day two is quarterback day, that the flurry really will begin at that point. We'll see how it plays out, but there's just so many where you're really having a hard time separating them, but you know you can win with them if you build your team up around them.
That's Charles Davis from the NFL Network. Before that, Daniel Jeremiah from the NFL Network. It's an interesting thought, and it's kind of similar to what our guest at 8 o'clock, Dan Shaka, said about he believes there are no franchise quarterbacks in this draft. None. Zero. And think about the comment from a couple of weeks ago from Charlie Casserly about eight quarterbacks better in this draft than E.J. Manuel. That, I think, is becoming increasingly ludicrous, that statement. I think, you know, Gil Brandt told us at the Combine E.J. be a first-rounder in this draft. But Shaka said there's only going to be, they believe, only one first-rounder in this draft. Cleveland down at the near the bottom of the first round going with Johnny Manziel. That's this. We've not heard the last of this. I think Charles Davis and Daniel Jeremiah have identified a trend that may be developing, but you know what? There's just enough time, 3 weeks until the draft, for the trend to swing back the other way. And all it takes is one team to make an early jump at a quarterback, whether it's Manziel early on. It would probably be him if it's early in the first round. All it takes is one team to make that pick, and maybe the rest of the quarterback needy teams get a little bit antsy about waiting until the second round. But it is an interesting concept. This is what happens when there's this much time before the draft. You know, you look at it one way, and then a couple of weeks later, you turn it around and look at it the other way, and a couple of influential and I think highly regarded draft experts like Daniel Jeremiah and Charles Davis are looking at it the other way now, like maybe these quarterback teams in the first round are going to wait until the second round. 3 weeks left for all of this to play out. We're going to follow it all on our radio show over the next 3 weeks. And round one of the draft, 3 weeks from tonight. Hey, we want to thank our guests who appeared on the show with us tonight, including Brandon Coffin just a minute ago, Tony Moiaki, Bill's tight end earlier on, and then Dan Shaka from Our Lad's Guide to the NFL Draft. Thanks to them for joining us tonight. Sal Capaccio will be here to host on Monday, or on tomorrow, and again on Monday. We get a little Easter break. We'll be back here with a live show next Tuesday, the first day of the voluntary off-season conditioning program. Thanks to our presenting sponsor, NOCO, family-owned, locally operated since 1933. Explore what NOCO can do for you at NOCO.com. Pete Cargis is the engineer. Jay Harris is the producer. And the Bills director of broadcasting is Jeff Matthews. Sal Capaccio tomorrow. We're back on Tuesday with the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO, live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.